Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for every opportunity He gives us to represent Him. I say that a lot, but I know the Holy Spirit. And I know that He moves. He is the God of action. He has a plan. And the more I learn about His plan and His purposes, the more I trust and dedicate my life to Him. I know my God, He can take a small thing and do something great with it. Never underestimate what God can do in your life. If you got a problem, He can solve it. He can solve it quick. But there's something more important than getting us out of a ditch. And that is learning His ways, learning His wisdom. What if the people of God dedicated themselves to seek first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness? If that would happen, you know, Jesus told us what would happen in that statement. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All right. When He made that statement, let's observe it. The devil likes to give us false information. It keeps us on a fog, a cloud. It keeps us from receiving God's best. It keeps us from getting to the point. And it blocks us from learning about His perfect will. And whoever partake of Satan's logic becomes just like him. Jesus said that you Pharisees, you look high and low to make a proselyte, and when you find one, you make him two times more the child of hell than yourselves. Why? Because they are on Satan's path. They've compromised. Now, I go back and listen to the website broadcast. I listen to them to make sure everything sounds right and is accurate, you know. And I say, man, I sound kind of harsh. But the Lord is dealing with the problem. People have gotten off track and compromised. Even good people. People that don't mean any harm. Because when you leave, when you're focused on your problem or what you desire, you can put more energy into solving that thing than seeking God first. Now, God is foundational. Everything He do is in seed form. And if you trust Him on this, you're not just going to solve the problem you're looking at or receive the things you greatly desire right now. You're going to be prepared and conditioned to overcome those things in the future from this point in your life. This is why. If we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then we become an automatic student. He's showing us what to learn first. If we take time and get a good understanding of God, what Jesus is telling us is that there no joy will be left out of your life, and you don't have to walk around in a fog of deception. You don't have to live in a cloud of misery where you can't see your way out. You don't know which way to walk out of it. And this life can be that way. Sometimes people receive the things that they once prayed for, but their life becomes no better off. Why? Because they sought those things, and those things can't take you where you need to be. A brand new car can't give you insight. Getting married, it won't solve all your problems. Even if you have a good spouse that loves you from their heart, and they'll do anything for you. If you get sick, they'll pray you through. They won't go look for insurance papers. They will pray you out of this problem. Even if you had a person of that caliber, Satan can turn you against them if you're not looking at the Lord. Did you know He can show you problems with anybody? Because people, we know in part. The best spouses in the world know in part. They can't solve every problem. They're not even designed to solve every problem and fulfill every need you have. And people, they walk out on good, what could have been great relationships and good friendships. And they leave the people that can help them the most, because Satan's influence never got dealt with. And this is a problem. And the Lord knows it. But people don't pay him any attention so that he can show them the whole picture. You know, the enemy show you the bait side. God will show you the bait side and the hook side at the same time. He'll help you see the traps that's coming. He'll show you how to pray for your spouse so that they don't get trapped. Because if they get trapped, they'll interfere with you. If he gets your children to get off course, it costs a lot of money and time to get them back on track. Ask the parents who pay for drug rehab, lawyer fees, court costs. Not to mention the misery they cause other people when they kill somebody. Usually over nothing. Because they never got a full understanding of how to conduct themselves. The future's, it hadn't happened yet. If we seek first the kingdom of God and come to the point where we surrender our life, we write God a blank check with our life. Lord, I will do anything you say. Now, people who truly trust God that way, they make the right adjustments along their life. That's much more important than receiving something you want. And then getting mad at God when it don't happen fast enough. Now, either we're going to get to know God or we're not. If we get to know him, everything will be put in order. And you'll be able to receive the facts you need. And if you have a heart to make the adjustment, then, you know, God can take you right on in the promised land. It won't take 40 years. It won't take but 11 days, so to speak. It's a faster way of living. It's better. Sometimes, you know, if you desire to go to college and finish whatever's in your heart, it's worth it. All right, right off the bat. If that's what you really want to do and be, it's worth it. Pay the cost and do it. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When I used to read when I first got saved, I used to read what Jesus said. I said, now, I want to know God. So I saw where the word of God became flesh. You know, Jesus is the word of God. And it explains that in St. John. I said, well, I'm going to study what he's had to say when he came. And then I studied it. And all the things that he said do. I said, man, that some of this stuff don't seem to make sense to me. I just don't understand. I said, but because he said it, I'm going to do it. And guess what happened? The Sermon on the Mount. I prayed to live the Sermon on the Mount. I did it because Jesus said it. I said, Lord, I was honest with God. I said, I don't see why he said this, but this is what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to see what happens. I said, I love you and I want to know you. And so I'm going to do what you say. So that's how I govern my life, by the Sermon on the Mount. You have to read it for yourself. The Beatitudes, he started with the Beatitudes and he continued with the whole sermon. And this is what the Lord had to say. And this was a synopsis of the Word of God. It reveals the intentions of God. See, if the Lord didn't want you to prosper, he wouldn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Now, the devil comes and twists it around. He's like, well, God's not going to give you what you want unless you do what he wants first. But that's not why Jesus said that. If he wanted to, he could bless you with whatever you want, and you're still running the ditch, and you still won't be no better off. And the Lord knows this. And some people will, if they get money too fast, they'll go right back in the world because they didn't have foundation. You don't build the roof before you build the building, and you don't build the building before you build the foundation. Why? Because it's stupid and it won't work. Now, if you build the roof first and set it aside, and then you build the building next and set it aside, and then you build the foundation, and then you go and get the building and put it on the foundation, and then the roof on top of the building, that's a lot of work because it's supposed to be built. It's not going to be as strong because you moved it around. You have, that's a lot of weight. And how are you going to pick it up? And if you do manage to pick it up, how good will it be? So why do that? That's a dumb thing to do. You build the foundation, you build the structure, you build the roof, you build the inside. If you go anywhere in the world, that's the way people build buildings. Why? Because it's smart. So why? Now God is looking at something you can't see. And all of his advice is true and good. So he's not going to tell you to do something stupid. If you're mad at God because he didn't tell you to do something stupid, just think back. Just go back and analyze. Well, let's look at what's going to happen if we do it the way I want it done. All right. I want a car. Okay. And the Lord opened the door for you to get the car. Now I need money for gas. And then I got to pay insurance and the tag. Now, but the Lord said, well, you just said a car. Well, it's going to cost money to take care of it. Well, now I need a job. Lord, how come you didn't give me a job first? You asked for a car first. I want a wife. Okay, here's a wife. You married a wife. Well, she's hungry. Lord, I ain't got no job. You didn't ask for a job. You asked for a wife. And then women, I want a husband. Okay, here's a husband. This man won't work, Lord. You didn't tell me you wanted him to work. You said you wanted a husband. Now, the Lord, if you want a gift from God, he's going to show you the best way to do it. So the whole thing will work. We ask for things short-sighted. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that. So if you draw near to the Lord, you're going to learn his ways. His foundational ways will protect everything. And then he's going to, the blessings will be added. He'll give you the foundation. And then when they come with the lumber, you build the structure. And then you protect the structure, you build the roof. And then you come back and you build the inside. Now, our lives are no different. Go back to how God did the world. He didn't make Adam on the first day. He said, let there be light. If he would have made Adam on the first day, he would have been confused. He would have been on a dark, cold world. He would have been miserable. No, he said, let there be light. Then he said, let the waters be in one place. You know, he did everything step by step. So when he made Adam on the seventh day, everything was right and put to order. He did this in 7 days, folks, 24-hour periods. He didn't do it over a long period of time. He restored the earth quickly. And then he made man. And everything was in order. And the temperature was right. The sun was back on. Everything was right. Now, if you can trust the Lord in this, you're going to be motivated and you're going to have a strong desire to write God that blank check and take him at his word, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Satan always trying to stop the progress. He didn't say, seek God and all of his righteousness, and these things will be added to you in a very slow process of time. People read that into it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added. And I believe I can go on and say at their proper course of time. Because adjustments will be made in your character and you'll be prepared. See, some people get married, they're good people, they marry a very good person, but they never made the right adjustments in their character. There are things they never learned about God yet. And there are problems that's going to arise because everybody thinks that people should do things the way they think. And then people think that you think like them. And nobody thinks alike. But the Word of God, if you're looking to the Lord, single eye, you're taking God at His Word. You're learning from Him. You're a student. You're not God's instructor. You're His student. All right? He'll show you things and prepare you in His love. And He'll show you, He'll prepare you for what, for who you're going to meet and how to help who you're going to meet and how to be a blessing and how to understand them. Now, it's important to have that kind of structure. That kind of structure comes from seeking first the kingdom of God. I can give you examples all day and tell you things that I learned. But if you're not a student, it won't help you. It's just like the pastors. I said, man, if they would sit down and talk with me, and I tried. I tried hard to get the pastors on board with the revelation God gave. And I got, most of them shunned me. They wouldn't give me any time. I'd be talking to them, and they'll let somebody interrupt, and then they'll say, well, hey, I got to go. They took it very lightly. And I knew that I saw the vision of what would happen. And the Lord knew what they would do. But He was showing me something that was out there that I didn't know. And He didn't tell me the process. I just had to follow along. I had to be a student. As long as I was a student, I learned these things. These are good pastors too. I said, if they could sit down with me and receive this revelation, God, they're very wise people. God will take them and go, and they'll move forward quickly. Now, if pastors won't do it, why in the world should I expect people to do it? Now, this broadcast is for people who are hungry, people that want to know Him. And that, you know, the Lord gave it, He had me to do this, and this is why. And if He sent you to this broadcast, it's because He wants people to that want to know Him. All right? Doesn't mean I'm smarter than you, which I'm probably not, but that's fine. I'm anointed to do this. You're going to have to seek the Lord and do what He gives you to do. These are your tools. These broadcasts are your tools so that you don't waste years so God can use you longer in cooperation as a student. See, if you're a student and you're willing to cooperate with the Lord, He can take your life, put it in order, and you'll stick with it. You'll overcome the devil. He already gave you authority over him. That's elementary. And you'll take authority over him through the course of your life. That's going to help bring in many blessings. I've seen so many people draw near to the Lord. The Holy Spirit was moving mightily, and the devil come and tear it up because they did not know how to fight properly. Now, you can learn how to fight. And if these broadcasts is not enough to teach you how to fight, go to rhema.org, listen to all the material that Kenneth Hagin wrote, because that's where I learned it from. And if you speak negatively, go to look up Charles Capps and receive all of his teachings on how to communicate, on how to speak the Word of God in faith. You have to speak it. Everything God put in your heart, receive it by faith and speak it into your life until you've won. The Lord told me He said, fight till you win and live in victory. All this is foundation. And then the things you learn along the way, you'll put it in its proper place. Your life gets stronger. You're prepared to receive something. And not only will you receive what you was after in the first place, you're going to get more. And you're going to keep it. Some people are rich, but they're so depressed and they're so confused in this life that they can't even enjoy it. So who has the money? Satan. Satan put a blockade between them and that and the joy of having money. And they sometimes they get in trouble. They kill people so they can get more money that they can't spend because the enemy has trapped them. Some of them have gambling habits. Some of them are depressed. Depressed people can't enjoy life. The money can't help them. Some of them get sick. And I mean, there's so many traps out there. But if we just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we're going to have foundation to receive. Now, this has always been a problem. People have not received God's best because their heart was set wrong. But when you study, when you take the Lord at his word, you can do all things, and he's going to guide you and promote you from faith to faith. Isaiah chapter 6. This is what the Lord put on my heart for this broadcast. I'm going to read it. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You know, Isaiah felt just like Peter when Jesus blessed him with all that fish. He said, Get away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. That's what Peter said. Isaiah said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now, in his presence, you're going to see him, and you're going to see you. And this now it makes more sense for you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Isaiah was nervous. Woe is me. I am undone. He saw himself as he was. And he saw the need to be like God. Now watch what happened. He realized he was he lived among people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, and he had taken, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. So now the Lord did something about his sin problem. Now watch what happened in verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. In this setting, he was not the only prophet there. God had many. And Isaiah didn't feel like he was the chief. Look at verse 1 again. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. He was kind of surprised he was there also. But he was the one that said something about his problem. It didn't say what the other prophet said. And I don't know how many were there, because it don't say. But he felt like they were further along than him. Because he said, I saw also. That tells me that he put himself last, the least of them. But when and then he was alarmed by his iniquity. When he saw the Lord, he saw himself, how far backwards he was. Then the angel put the live coal on his tongue and said that his iniquity was taken away. And the sin was purged. Now watch verse 9. Verse 8 says, Also I heard the voice of the Lord So he the other prophets heard what he said too, saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Now he was the first volunteer, and so was Peter. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am? That I am?" And some said John the Baptist. Some said Elijah. He said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "You are Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but the Father did." Now, Peter became the chief apostle because that was a defining moment. Defining moments are going to come. The Lord is going to look for people that he can anoint. And the person that steps up with the most faith will be chosen. Don't know where, don't know when. But seeking first the kingdom of God will help you do all that's in God's heart. It's not a competition with each other. I thank God for every person that he anoints. And I respect everybody that's bought by his blood. I thank God for all of them. You are vessels that can do great things. And it doesn't bother me if somebody's further along than I am. I hope everybody was. Because if I do all that's in God's heart and other people do all that's in his heart, we'll all be better off. Because we're one body, one work. But it's manifested through us. So, verse 9 says, "And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." He's talking about his people, because they went rogue. They kept going after idols year after year, century after century. From the time he brought them out of Egypt, they became worthless. They became like dross. When you refine silver, the dross is left. In Isaiah 5, the chapter before this one, he did everything to make them beautiful grapes, sweet grapes. They became wild grapes, no good. So the Lord blinded Israel. This is the first mention of the blindness. It's also in the curse of Moses, but this is when the Lord finally did it. "Then said I, Lord, how long?" Verse 11. And he said, and he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away," because he scattered his people out of their land more than once. And there'll be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. They forsook the Lord. They were blind. He regathered them. But they still blind. "But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof." The holy seed of Israel are the people who never left their faith. And in every century, in every age, every generation, there were 10% of the people that truly loved God. They were the heart. They were like the substance in a tree. In the fall, the trees released their leaves, and in the spring that substance comes up in the tree and it comes back to life, just like an oak tree. It's so many that do wrong, you can't see the ones that do right. And he gave us the percentage. He said a tenth, "But yet shall be in it a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten," which is received. God received them. And he spit out the lukewarm. Now the church is just like, the church have become like Israel. Some people, they got saved, they were washed in the blood, they sung the blood song. But they did how they wanted to. They never got to know the Lord. And they ended right back up serving the devil in the world. Pastors on down. Some are good, some are evil. Just like we've been saying in the broadcast, the Lord has to deal with it. So some people are not trained right, and they don't teach right. There's an influence of the false prophet and his traditions throughout the church. And then there's people who really love God and want to know him. And to those that really want, that will write God a blank check, "Lord, I will do whatever you say." And they really dedicate themselves to learning his word. They're going to live with foundation, and they'll be the kind of people God can bless. And when the transfer of wealth happens, they're going to be the recipient. Because all along they love God, and they were receiving, they were making that foundation strong. They were just like the substance in a tree that bring forth the leaves in the spring, that bring it back to life. When others have forsaken and their leaves fall off, they forsook the Lord in their heart. They put other things first. They trusted God last. And their life reflects it. But we got too much. We've received too much for this. Our lives can flourish. Even the best miracles is a scratch of the surface compared to what the Lord can do in each of us. Do you realize the Lord can give you an assignment that can reach the whole world? If we're faithful in dedicating our life to the Lord, we can do anything. There's nothing we can't do. Nothing. And the Lord knows this. So that's why I sound harsh sometimes. I'm not apologizing for it, but things that I'm saying needs to be said, and many people know it needs to be said and dealt with. And the Lord is dealing with it. But he can only use people of faith. Now I'm out of time. The Lord is not here. Continue to move in your life. Till next time, remember, I do love you. God loves you. In Jesus' name.